Well, today it is a privilege to have our friends with us from Zero Gravity. We're going to do something just a little bit different than we normally do in the sense that it's not going to be so like sermon-like of someone standing up here and doing a monologue about God's word and his goodness, but it's going to be much more like a report back to Jerusalem, a report of like, hey, this is what God's doing in the world. We're going to be talking just a little bit to them about their testimonies, what God has done in their own hearts, and then about their ministry and how God is, what he's doing in their ministry and how he's just showing up. But before we do that, let me just pray. Father, we come before you and we're just so thankful for friends who go out and share the gospel on a daily basis. We're thankful that you're at work in their hearts and in their lives and in their ministry. God, we ask that as we gather together, we would just be encouraged. We'd be challenged. We would want to continue on with the mission of the church to seek and save the lost, and that we would want to and we would see the fruits of that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you come up?
Wow, this is like sitting in your living room.
Yeah.
And you know,
I feel like Oprah. So,
and you know, this is, I kind of think this is awesome too, because this impromptu stuff freaks her out. She's been talking about it for like, what am I going to say? How am I going to do that? And I'm just like, just roll with it. And she's like, Tim, you do that. I don't, you know? So I think it's, I like this. This is awesome.
That's because he likes to talk all the time.
So tell us just a little bit about your first experience with Jesus and how you got there, kind of really your testimony.
Well, it's a process, I guess. I didn't accept the Lord till I was 30. And so I'm 55 now. My wife's 25 now, I think.
29.
Okay, she's 29. So we're celebrating that this year, I think. But, and so most of my life I chased after what the world wanted and or what the world held so high, and I just had a collision. I mean, that's really kind of what happens. I don't think when people, you know, win the lottery and multi-$1 million and, you know, living on the beach, and they're just like, you know, I got to get my life right. You know what I mean? And I think it always comes down to a collision. And for me, it was just, I had a collision. I got to a place in my life where the emptiness and I had nothing left. And I just kneeled on the floor one morning at 3 o'clock in the morning when my wife kicked me out of bed because she was nursing our youngest boy and it was a couple hours away, and I kept asking questions and she's like, shut up, I gotta, you know, feed the baby. Well, I mean, you guys, I mean, for those of you that have kids, it's not necessarily a happy time, especially for the women when you're doing that stuff. So I ended up downstairs in the living room, and me and God had a chat, and he just pretty much said, hey, you going to come with me or are you going to keep going? And I had nothing left, so I just...
Did you grow up in a spiritual environment? How did that...
No, I grew up in Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles, but... and so my parents are great, don't get me wrong. I mean, they weren't abusive or anything like that. They were great people, but church just wasn't a thing in our house. We didn't go have Bibles in the house. We didn't pray before meals. I mean, I can't even call us Christers, the Christmas and Easter people. We were just Sunday was another day to go to the beach, and I was cool with that at that point in my life. So no, I didn't really have that. So I was that guy that fell through the cracks. You know what I mean? I wasn't that guy that anybody reached out to. I just figured that I knew of God. Let's put it that way. And I just figured he had much bigger things than me to worry about. So that's just kind of where.
And then you joined, the military?
Yeah.
And
yeah. I woke up one morning in Las Vegas. I ended up there. woke up one morning, looked in the mirror after a pretty wild 3 days, and I looked in the mirror, and I didn't even recognize who I was. And my eyes would look like I got punched in the face and just skeleton looking. And I'm just like, how in the world did I get here? And I just knew I had to make a change. But at that point, that's not when I accepted the Lord. I mean, I was like, I got to do something. I can't keep going down this road. It's like I'm watching friends die and sell everything they own for, you know, drugs and different things like that. And I was just like, I don't want to end up there. So I ended up joining the military. They flew me to, Phoenix, Arizona for my physical. And the physical, they have you pee in a cup. And I'm like, well, this is over, you know. And but lo and behold, at the end of it, they said, welcome to the military. Had me raise my right hand. And I'm like, there's some poor soul out there that's walking in the parking lot. I didn't do it. I really didn't do it. But so that's God. That was God's hand in before I even was pursuing him. You know, and so joined the military in Nevada, and then my first duty station was in Alaska, which is where me and her met and got married. We got married before we even met each other's parents, because we got met up there, and actually we didn't meet each other's parents till a year after we were married. So good thing,
because
so a kid from California, a girl from the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, end up meeting and getting married in Alaska. Our last duty station was here in the UP, and now we live in Georgia doing ministry full-time. So it's kind of a crazy, wild journey, which is awesome.
And so when you did meet her parents, they were, I think they're a little bit more on the spiritual side of things, is that?
Yes, yes. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were divorced before I was even 1 year old. So I spent almost all my time with my grandparents, my aunts and uncles. We went to church every Sunday. We went to Wednesday, I think it was like GMG and different, you know, clubs. They had Awana and different stuff like that. So I grew up in a Christian home. So I actually, my bedtime story at my grandparents' house, because I spent so much time there, was Revelation by my grandfather.
Seems appropriate for bedtime.
So that's my history with that. But then all of a sudden you get to like your teenage years, and I always had this wild spirit from the time I was little, and my parents would be like, you can't do that, you can't say that, you can't be jumping up and down, you can't be dancing, you can't, you know, it was a lot of, you can't be doing that, it's inappropriate. And I'm like, well, you see people doing this, but it's, and it wasn't inappropriate, it was just, that was how, well, you know me, Levi, I just have a lot of joy, a lot of energy.
You did see during the music, I scooted over a little bit to give her room, so she could do her thing, like, that's just, yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's the good part of it. Now I'm praising Jesus with my wild spirit. Nobody showed me how to do that, because it was almost like they were constantly, and I don't think they were doing it in a bad way, I think when somebody has a wild spirit, God gave you that for a reason. And now I definitely know what that reason was. He was preparing me for my husband. Because I never know what's coming next, and it's an interesting thing. But I was also that little girl that no matter when there was somebody sharing the gospel, I always had my hand up, because I just was like, wow, does Jesus really love me? Well, I did this. This wasn't right. I was always asking him to forgive me, and it was hard for me to understand that someone could love you and you didn't put any Kleenexes up here. Love you that deep and that wide, no matter what you do, he loves you. And to send his only son to die on a cross for us, who does that? You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people can't comprehend that, and I was that girl that could not comprehend that. And then finally in my 30s, I was at a Lowell Lundstrom crusade, and I gave my life to Christ again, and that was it. After that, I was like, that's it. I'm living my life for him. And yes, there was highs, there was lows, and Tim and I were trying to figure it out, because he was a new Christian, and I was starting my walk again. And anyways, it's great, because now we're running around the world sharing Jesus with everybody and what he did, the things that we've done that weren't appropriate. But you want to know what? He sent his son to die for us. He loves us. He has grace. He has mercy. I don't know why, but I want to say it again. He has grace, he has mercy, and he loves you. No matter what you've done, he will forgive you if you ask him.
So then you guys come back from Alaska, and you meet her parents and family.
Oh, yeah. And
how'd that go?
Ooh, okay, well, I'm a kid from California, so I get to the UP not totally understanding what the... And so I flew in from Alaska because I worked on some planes that, anyway, so I flew into to the UP, and I'm like, man, there's really not a whole bunch here. And I remember there, but so get in here like 3 o'clock in the morning, go to sleep right away, didn't meet anybody. I wake up early because of the time difference, and I'm sitting out on the porch and just drinking a Mountain Dew or whatever I was doing, I don't remember. And Debbie's dad rolls up in this 3/4-ton Chevy pickup, and I knew he worked in the woods and all that, but he's a logger, you know what I mean? So all this stuff. So he gets out of this truck, and this is a 3/4-ton pickup. The whole left side of the pickup truck lifts up like 6 inches after he gets out. He's like a 6'3". Actually, I think he's 300 and...
I don't know.
A big, big, big dude. Big old beard.
He looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah, just a big dude. You meet him and he's so intimidating. And what does he do? He pulls a chainsaw out of the back of his thing and throws it over his shoulder and walks up like, "Are you Tim?" And I'm like, at that moment, I didn't really want to say much. I was like, well... We're out in the middle of nowhere. He could cut me up, chop me up, throw me out in the woods, and nobody'd ever, ever know, you know? So yeah, and it went that way. And then I ended up going up to their camp. They have a camp where, you guys know what that's all about. But and so then the grandfather and the uncles say, "Hey, Tim, come on up into the camp." And I'm like, okay, I'll go up there. And then they sit me down. I'm like, oh, here we go. And so the grandpa starts asking questions, and he's like, and I wasn't a Christian yet, and I wasn't a believer yet. And he's like, "How do you feel about alcohol?" I'm like, "I don't have a problem with it. I mean, as long as you don't spend your rent money and to buy it or whatever, having a beer here and there, whatever." And all the boys, because he ruled with an iron fist, her grandfather, he was that guy. And everybody stops and looks at me and looks at him like, "I can't believe he just said that in front of Rudy Olson." And he's like, "Hmm." And that was it. And I was like, "I don't know what that means." And then they said, "Well, what do you think about hunting?" And totally not thinking about where I was sitting at. There's deer heads everywhere. There's guns all over the place. And I'm just like, I really don't get it. Like, why? And so that Christmas, I got a 30-06 for Christmas. And so it started that way, but it was a really, really neat thing because they're... through Debbie and through her family, they just love me, even though I, at that point, God was the process of lifting me up, using people around me to speak into my life, not in a forceful way, but in a way where I was just like,
they're sitting around the table reading scripture and
They would have Bible studies up at the camp, and I didn't, like, they would sing some songs, and she's like, "Tim, don't you know the words to, Jesus Loves Me?" I'm like, "Never heard that song before in my life. I don't know. That wasn't something we did." She's like, "You didn't go to Bible camp?" I'm like, "No, went to the beach, And so we were sitting, they would sit around the table, and they'd go to the Bible studies, and Debbie's like, "Hey, do you want to go to the family Bible study?" I'm like, "Nah, no, not really." And she's like, "Well, my aunts are cooking food." I'm like, "Yep, what time?" Because they cook some really, as a matter of fact, she made me some big batch of homemade cookies so amazing food. So I was like, so I'd go up there, and I'd eat food and sit off in the corner while they were all sitting at the table, and they were cool with it. And then slowly but surely over time, I'd kind of get closer to the table. Next thing you know, I'm sitting at the table probably a month later or whatever. And then I'm starting to ask questions. Like, again, it was just a process. And pretty soon I'm asking questions about this, that, and the other thing. And I could see her grandfather kind of smiling as I'm getting closer and closer to him, asking like deeper and deeper questions. Like, wait a minute, if this is this, this is this. And all that. And again, that all leads back to the one night where I just had all these questions racing through my mind. I'm asking her at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she's yelling at me to get out of the room because she's got to wake up in an hour to feed our youngest. And so
who cried all the time.
Yeah, he did do that.
So you find Jesus, life starts to move in a certain direction. You get out, obviously, you're not in the military anymore. You got out of the military. So how do we get to military airplanes to doing that?
So, you know, again, I was insanely wild, but not, I guess, I don't want to say I wasn't a bad guy, but I was mischievous, to say the least. And just if I got bored, it kind of got ugly. You know what I mean? Something was going to go sideways. I mean, it's just the way it was. But once I joined the military, it just turned that whole party global at that moment. And so I still had that wildness. Once I became a believer, though, I actually got wilder. It was crazy, but different. You know, and so that's why we encourage that wildness. Like if you have a child or somebody that's just got that wild spirit, we encourage that, but guide it.
Yep.
It's got to be guided. And that's what I didn't have. I didn't have guidance. And if it's unguided, it's going to go sideways. It's going to go, the world has got way too much force or whatever you want to call it to guide it in the opposite direction. So anyway, I was always into the extreme sports. We'd sneak into people's pools in California skateboarding, and when they had the water out of it or whatever, that was just back in the day, and race dirt bikes. I mean, we'd have race big wheels down canyon roads, had them up to 80 miles an hour, big wheels. So it's like, you know, so we would do stuff like that. So I was always into that thing. Once I became a believer, I was like, okay, God, like you got me now what, you know? Well, what do we do? And so it was that whole thing where we start kind of digging. And then one day I had this vision. I'm very visionary. I'm not a detail guy by any means. She's the detail person and she's the discerning person. I'm just like God's pull toy, pull the string and whoosh, off he goes type of thing. Or I even say, what, God's Mikey? You guys remember the Mikey cereal? The kid, give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything. And so God's just like, give it to Tim. He'll do it. He'll do anything, whatever.
So how he started this, he came home with a dirt bike and said God told him to buy this dirt bike. he was trying to not go to this, so I'm going to put him out there. So he shows up at home, and at the time I had a daycare in my house. And so that's what I did out of the home while he was military, because I absolutely love children of all ages. I have a hard time with the middle schoolers, but the rest of them, they can all come over. So he brings home this dirt bike, and I looked at him like, what are you doing? This wasn't even something we talked about. He said, well, God told me to buy this, and he's like, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get these ramps, and he's like, we're going to tell people about the gospel and how God had me buy this bike, and we're going to reach the lost. And I'm just sitting there like, we're doing what with a dirt bike? And that's how it started. But I'll let him go into a little more detail, but that's how it all got started.
Yeah, that it didn't go over very well. She's like, you really don't need to use God as an excuse to buy a dirt bike. And I'm like, but no, I was being serious. I was like, no, God said to buy a dirt bike. And I had this such a clear vision. And I sat down and said, you know, we're going to jump dirt bikes. We're going to, you know, do backflips, and we're going to do all these things. The music, there's going to be drift cars. I'm like, I know that stunt bike. And we're going to do this whole thing and just draw people that, like me, like us, you know, that I just really felt the passion to that. And so I gave her this really detailed vision. And fast forward probably, what, that was in 2003, something like that. Fast forward to 2012. So I told her this vision, very detailed. 2012, we started the ministry. We had been doing events for a few years, but she never got a chance to watch. She was always busy doing something in the background or whatever. And so someone told her, hey, you need to go out and watch this. You need to go out and see this. We're at Life Fest is where that was, where this was at. And so she sits there and watches the whole thing. And after the whole thing's over, she's crying. And I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you crying? This was awesome. Like, you see all the hands that went up? Like, the whole prayer tent was just inundated with people that wanted to come and get prayer. I'm like, what was awesome? She's like, I am so sorry. I'm like, for what? She's like, I thought you were nuts. Like, I literally thought you were nuts. And she said, I watched the vision. Because I told her, I said, I'm going to stand on the landing ramp and I'm going to have my hands out praying over people. I just see it. I'm going to be praying over people. And that was the one time that I got up on top of the ramp. And I just went up and did it. I'm up on top of our landing ramp, 15 feet in the air, just had my hands up praying over the crowd and over people. And she's like, I thought you were nuts. And there was no possible way. She's like, but that was, I saw exactly what you explained 10 years ago.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
It was incredible just to watch how God shows us different things. And then you step out in faith and you do it. And it was just really neat to see the whole vision come together exactly how he showed me, God showed it to him.
So that took 10 years for it kind of to come to fruition, but you kept kind of hitting the same nail, kind of growing in that, figuring it out. What were the hardest steps of just stepping out? You know, obviously you have to explain to your wife for the very first time why you're buying a motorcycle, a dirt bike. But after that, there had to be some hiccups maybe in that, some difficult seasons, and also some really like breakthrough moments.
Yeah,
I'd say the hardest thing is everybody thought we were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, when God gives you, because the thing is what we have learned, and it's so awesome, God takes you and encourages you to do things that you can't do. It's not in your ability. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, because if you can do it, it's not God. Like, you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the vision that we had were so big, and so, you know, we're going to be at the X Games, and we're going to do all these things. And so we pastor the X Games. We go to the X Games. I got athletes calling me all the time, like prayer and just doing different things. And it's like, but at the time, it's everybody's like, no way. I mean, because we're not anything. We're just God's kids. You know, we're kingdom kids. Mm-hmm. And he just says, go for it. You know what I mean? And when he says, you know, that not only are you going to do the things that I've done, but you're going to do even greater things. I mean, that's, I mean, how it's for real. And so I just took it serious. That was the hardest part is people just, it was very discouraging because motorcycles and God and evangelism and all that, everybody's like, what? No, like nobody like understood it. We didn't really even know, like we just were just kind of going. Mm-hmm. And so the hardest part was just really keeping the fire lit, I guess. And, but God, every time we get to that place where we want to throw our hands up, and it happens. I mean, a lot, where you just want to throw your hands up because the enemy's good, you know. And but we want to throw our hands up, and God always just all of a sudden does something that just says, "Keep going, keep going." So that's where the encouragement comes from. Is from now. It's we get people like you and your group, your team and your church and all that stuff, and it's just awesome. So we talk on a regular basis, you know what I mean? It's like those encouraging times for things like that, and that keeps us rolling.
One of the interesting things too that happened at first, we had to go to different pastors and ask them, would you give us a chance to do this? Because we would tell them all about what our plans were, and everybody, it just felt like the doors just kept shutting and shutting. Well, we found this pastor in Iron River, Michigan, and we asked him, if we pay for everybody to come here and this is like a free event, our team will raise the money somehow, some way, and we will come here for free and do this and evangelize your community. He was the only pastor that said yes. Our pastor from our church did show up, you know, to watch. And then he was sold when he watched hands going up and saw how it all, but God orchestrated that. But that's how it all started, where people started getting a hold of us. But we had to step out in faith, and we just felt God said, you know what? If you step out in faith, I will take care of this. And because he's like, why does nobody believe that we can do this? And
they really did think we were nuts. They thought we lost our marbles.
Well, we are. We really, truly are. But I just believe God made us like that for a purpose and a reason, to reach people that probably would never step into a church or, just go where the gospel is going to be presented, but for some reason they will come to watch a guy do a backflip in the air. And that's how we get to minister to people that otherwise they would fall through the cracks like my husband. And just praise God that he met me and my family. So, and I just look at what God's done just from that.
So you've been doing it for 10 years now?
We started an extreme sports film company at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Nitro Life Films. We started, and so that kind of blew up into what we do now, because we'd get out with athletes all over the, you know, we'd search out and find Christian athletes, and we'd go film them and all that. And then we did one of our movie releases in 2004. So 2004 is when we actually started. 2002 was the vision.
Okay.
And 2004 is when it kind of happened. We were releasing our second movie that we did, a full length extreme sports movie, giving, you know, to reach people. And at the Cup of Joy in Green Bay, Jan there said, hey, why don't you guys come down and do this? And so we brought some stunt bike riders up, and we got a chance to talk to kids in school. They opened up there's a Christian school there that let us come in and share and all that. And people showed up, and it was so powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's how all of a sudden we're like, hey, we need to figure this out. So a group called Wheels North out of Ohio and Nitro Life Films merged in 2006 to become Zero Gravity Outreach.
Awesome. What's your favorite part of doing this? You're traveling around, and traveling at first probably is good, but then that probably gets old, so that's probably not the favorite part. What's your favorite part of the whole thing as you're serving people in this capacity?
You know, I would say it's such an adrenaline rush to watch people cross that line and become part of the family, and give their lives to the Lord. I mean, the bikes are great. Don't get me wrong. I love riding motorcycles. I quit jumping freestyle motocross at 52. And so I crashed in the yard, and she's like, are you done with that yet? And so I mean, I was a little beat up, but yeah, anyway. So the bikes are great. I love doing that. But when you see people giving their lives to the Lord, and you see how that's all coming together and them stepping into that like I did, like I vividly remember that moment. And it was such a change. It was just an aha, like, this is real. Like, and then walking into that and to know that these people are stepping into that also.
Yeah, from death to life, that moment when you see people do that, it's amazing.
It's unbelievable. And how God has just so uniquely done things. You know, like a quick little example is a church called one time, or well, actually, Debbie in her heart one time said, hey, why don't you call Grand Forks, North Dakota, out of the blue, you know, and there's find a church there that would want to do an outreach. Now, again, a quick little side note is that my dad retired from the Navy and had this bright idea to move from California to Grand Forks, North Dakota when I was a junior in high school. Not happy with that decision whatsoever. And so we moved to North Dakota, and part of even me turning up the heat on my wildness and doing stupid stuff was just my anger for being there and leaving California. So doing a lot of stuff. So there was one point I got a ticket for doing 115 miles an hour over the speed limit. And that landed me in jail, and my dad had to come and pick me up. So that coming to this event in North Dakota, all of a sudden I reached out.
The exact church that I told you to call.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, she told me to call this specific church, not knowing where this church is at.
I had
like,
no clue.
So I called the church, and they're like, I said, so, you know, I look and see where they're at, and they got all about it. We, you know, we're doing the event and all these things, and all of a sudden I'm looking, and I'm like, that's where I got arrested, was right in their, like, church parking lot. Like, in 1985.
Doesn't God have humor?
So, yeah, so I'm like, whoa, like, talk about craziness, how God just, you know what I mean? So just to see those moments where God does that stuff. And so I call the place, and all of a sudden the people are like, Tim Wilkinson. They're like, there's some people here that know you, or might know you. And I'm like, okay, we need to take a step back here for a second. I said, now do they know me or do they know of me? There's a difference. Because if they know me, they're probably with me. If they know of me, then that's a whole nother bad possibility and type of stuff. So anyway, it was just really, really cool. And so we got to do this event, and they were expecting 500 people maybe to this event, because we always tell people, just, it's going to be way bigger than you think it is. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it's just what God does. And they were expecting like 500 people. I think 6,000 people showed up that day. And they had nowhere near enough people to, the hands that went up, it was unbelievable. And to be able to share what God has done in our life with a lot of the people that we partied with,
that
15 years earlier.
Yeah.
And they were just like, Tim, to see who you are now and to remember who you were back then, we saw Jesus. And so it was a whole nother level of God using us as a tool to reach people that probably wouldn't darken the doorstep of a church otherwise. So that's the awesomeness.
So as we're kind of wrapping up here a little bit, it seems like your passion is to connect local churches, energize local churches through this kind of event. The event is just a vehicle, it seems like. So just talk a little bit about that and your heart for the local church and connecting people to that.
Kind of bouncing off that story with Grand Forks, God's given us such a passion and a fire and for the lost and the hurting and the broken. And there's two sides to that. Number one is we want to encourage the church to really, and I want to be careful on how I say this, but to really step it up. You know what I mean? And to really chase after. Like, it was so awesome to hear that song, especially that first song where it's like talking about singing even in the midst of the mess. Paraphrasing, obviously, but it's like even in the time of struggle doing that. And it's like, so God gave us such a passion and a fire, and we wanted to step that up and run that out. So it's a matter of stepping alongside the church and encouraging the church to do the same. We're called to be a part of. All of us are called to be a part of God's church, to be a part of the body. But what we are called to do is to step alongside the church, to be able to encourage people and that to reach into their community, because we're going to leave, you know, and we're going to go somewhere else. Even where we're living right now, like, we're gone a lot. So it's the church's responsibility to carry that out. And we want to encourage people to really chase after. He's given everybody in this room, everybody online, everybody everywhere, he's planted a seed in your belly. And before you even took your first breath, and he's given you a passion for something. Now, it might not be flipping dirt bikes or whatever the case may be. Maybe it is. I don't know. But he's given you a passion. And I guess that's what we want to stir, is to chase after that and to encourage that. And I guess to kind of step off of that is we want to be a part of the story. Like, when you look at the Bible, you look at what the disciples did, you look at the healing and all the fire coming down from heaven. I want to be a part of that. Like, and you can't be a part of it unless you take that first step. And sometimes our story are two sides of the same coin, in a sense. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. She did. She was a Christian for the most of her life, but stepped away. I never stepped in, and I just had this moment where I got whacked in the face by a 2x4. You know what I mean? And so that's the thing is we would encourage even you. And I guess this is what I'd like to do is if there is anybody here that has stepped away or stepped back from their call, then I want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your life to the Lord. Or if you haven't taken that first step, if you want to be a part of the story, same way the people that have maybe stepped back, if you really want to dive in and be a part of the story, whatever that may be, and experience things beyond your abilities, we would love to pray for you, because we want to encourage. When God says that he wants you to live life to the full, he's talking, I mean, there's no limit to that, like no limits in Jesus. All right, so let's do this. We're going to pray. Let's all of us pray together. And we're going to encourage each one of us. And here's the thing. Even if you're not feeling it, that just let's do this and pray this prayer. And we're going to all pray together. And let's step into what God's called us to. All right? So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for stirring the pot. We thank you for stoking the fire in our spirit to chase after and to follow you. God, I'm dedicating my life to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to step onto the battlefield and live the life that you've called us to live, the life with no limit in your son, Jesus. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Savior. And I'm leaning on you because I know I can't do it alone. And I'm going to follow you and live with you the rest of the days of my life into eternity, which is so awesome. And now it's time to step it out to what you've called me to do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. So here's the thing. Whether it's welcoming you back into the family, whether it's welcome to the family initially, welcome to the family. And now it's time to step it up and step into it. So that's awesome. So I guess I would encourage you, get with Levi or get with somebody to pray about whatever God would have you do, and just, man, be God's pull toy. Go for it. Just make it happen. So thank you. That's awesome.
Well, thank you guys for coming. Wasn't this good? This is good to hear, right? Let's give these guys a hand.